The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mollen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms. Hi, guys. Welcome to All the Fails. Today, I have the person that I have probably failed the most with me. Well, I don't know. No, it'll be my children. Like, they will have, like, the most issues as a result of me. Like, I've inflicted trauma, and there are wounds that will need healing over the course of the rest of my life. But another person that I have failed and continue to fail, but also I redeem myself as well. But somebody that has really been through it with me is my husband, Jason Mollen Biggs. Welcome to my new podcast.
Thanks, baby. Honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here.
Guest number what, 4?
Well, I was my first guest. It was me.
That tracks.
Telling you guys actually like a little story that you were a part of. Actually, you were a character in it. And then who else did I do? But I don't want to tell people because like, who knows where this will fall.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like they might just like stow this episode away because it's terrible.
Or it could be the first one out of the gate.
But also they might like never air this because it's just like not suitable for life.
Work.
Just life in general.
Yeah.
Baby.
Hi, babe.
Okay, baby, I'm going to start by telling you a way that I failed you this week while you were away.
Okay.
I don't know if I've told you this yet. I thought about it telling you earlier, but then I was like, well, he's coming on the podcast. So would it be, is it worth it to tell him now? Or is it just like better material for me to like save it and get your reaction on camera? Okay. Your parents were over this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I was telling them about how Sid got in trouble in school. Because, you know, of all of his, like, your mom stuff that he says.
Yep.
Your mom. Anyway, he said your mom to something that a teacher said. And the teacher just looked at him and was like, go to the principal's office. And then I said to him, I said, well, you know, Sid, I said, listen, there's a time and a place for everything. He's like, I didn't realize that it was that offensive. Like, me and my friends say it on Roblox all the time to each other back and forth. Your mom. And I said, Sid, that's why you have to know there are people you can speak to in a certain way. And there are people that you cannot. I said, and he was like really upset, you know, about the teacher and he wants to be perfect. And he's like, I don't know. I don't want to go back to school there anymore. And I said, Sid, it's not a big deal. It's kind of funny. You learned a lesson. This is like, I'm glad that this happened in this way. And I said, well, when daddy was younger, daddy had a similar situation happen when he said something he shouldn't have. And he lost his job at the Subway when he was a Subway artist. And he's like, really? And I said, yes. I said, it happens to everybody. And I was like, but daddy also was just joking around with somebody that was his boss. And daddy said something to this person. And they looked at daddy and said, you're fired. And I said, and daddy was so upset. And daddy needed that job. And he was young. And this was like, you know, not something that he could walk back from. And he had to learn from that lesson. And so it did give him comfort. And he did like go to bed that night. Everything was fine. Cut to, your parents are there. And I was like, yeah, you know, I had to tell Sid that's the story about how Jason lost his job as the Subway artist. And your parents, Jason, how did they not know this? They didn't know that you had been fired from Subway. And
okay.
I feel terrible. I was like, how? Jason has laughed about this and told me this story so many times.
I'm surprised. I definitely feel like my memory of it is I came home. Kind of, I mean, in bits about it, you know, but also like nervous to maybe I was going to get, I already got fired, but now
I
maybe
think that's
I was,
how Sid was. He was nervous to tell me that he was going to get in trouble with me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I was nervous that my parents were going to, there was an additional layer of, you know, consequence that I was going to have to deal with. And my memory is I told them. Yeah, I guess I didn't tell them why. Yeah. I guess I just said, I don't know, man, I guess I don't really remember it either. Maybe I did. It would make sense that I covered it up. I mean, I was mortified by it. Mortified. So yeah, maybe I guess I didn't.
Okay, hold on. You started telling people what you said. I think you need to give them a little bit more.
So when I was 16 years old, which is the age you are allowed to officially work in New Jersey, I saw a subway was being constructed just sort of down the block from me on Route 17. And there was a big help wanted sign out front. And I thought, oh my goodness, I could walk there because I didn't have my license yet. You don't get your license until you're 17 in New Jersey. So I thought, oh, that could be good. And I went in. I was literally the first hire. First interview. And it was two brothers who owned it. Younger guys, again, older than me, of course, but probably in hindsight, in their 20s or they were pretty young. And this was their first franchise of a subway that they were buying. And so I interviewed with them. It was great. We hit it off right away. They were like, yeah, dude, you're hired. How much time do you want to work? You know, it was minimum wage. And it was just part-time but I came to find out, I think I met her early on, that there was another owner. Their sister's husband was also involved. So these two guys, their sister and brother-in-law were also owners. And in fact, it seems like maybe they were the bigger money behind it. Like maybe they put in the bigger chunk, but they were not ever around, ever. The two brothers ran it. And at a certain point, they even weren't really around. Like when I was working there, I'd be left alone. They trusted me. Like, it was my sandwich shop for a while. Now, these are the days, you alluded to it earlier, when a Subway employee was referred to as a sandwich artist. And I was an artist. I mean, they gave that moniker to every Subway employee, but not everyone deserved it, in my opinion. I deserved it. Because at the time, they don't do this anymore, but maybe you remember, at Subway, they would take the bread and they would canoe the top out. It was sort of a shape like this. Now they just cut it in half.
The way that like a Mohs surgeon would like cut a cyst out of you. Like
exactly.
You have to go deep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like a little, like a scoop.
A scoop.
And then, then the top you'd pull out and it would fit perfectly back in. And so you'd kind of fold the cold cuts or scoop the tuna into this, you know, crevice and then put the top back on. That was like a big thing of Subway. I had to learn how to do it. And I, of course, did it perfectly. In any event, they had some other employees that worked there, of course, because I couldn't work there full time. But ostensibly, I was one of their favorite employees. I mean, I was killing it.
You were part of the family.
That's what I thought. Very occasionally, the sister would make an appearance. And again, let me tell you the dynamic with the brothers. We were like super
frat
cool
guys together.
Yes.
That's
like,
yeah.
We would curse, we would joke around, we would give each other shit, make fun of each other. Like we were friends, not like they were boss and I was employee. And it didn't matter because I always worked hard, did my work. Like
a perfectionist.
I'm a perfectionist. So it was never like, ooh, you know, we have a weird friendship relationship with this guy and we need to boss him around. It was like, no, I got it. And so we would mess around and I went to a Giants game with one of them one time. I remember working with one of the brothers one Saturday when a radio station that we were listening to in the store was holding a contest for Pearl Jam tickets. And we would take turns calling the Z100 to try to win the tickets, like both of us. And we were laughing. That's how it was. Occasionally their sister would come in and she seemed also really cool. We'd also joke around and curse, and it seemed all good. But very rarely was she around. It was really the other two. And at a certain point, it was, you know, even the brothers weren't around that much. Fast forward a long time. I'm, you know, been working there. And it's the sister working. I think she was even, like, picking up a shift. Like, the guy I was supposed to work with that day couldn't come in. The brothers weren't around. And so she, like, came in on a Saturday. And we were laughing, joking, making sandwiches, doing our thing. And at one point, she made a comment that felt like she was, and in fact, I'm sure she was. I thought she was like giving me shit about something, like making fun of me for something. And I sort of laughed and was like, okay, blow me. And she just, and I'm laughing as I say it. And she just, all serious, just turns to me and says, you're fired. I was
so
like,
honest. so fucked up.
And I was like, thinking she was joking.
Obviously,
as well.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. Yeah. And she's like, no.
Get your things and go.
No, seriously. Like, that's not okay. You're done.
I feel sexually harassed. Like, stop.
I was like, wait, what? And it crushed me.
I always ask you this. Why did you not call one of the brothers? Like, to lobby for you.
I think I don't know. Again, my memory is also kind of hazy. I mean, that's all true, what I just said. But the other stuff, like coming home, I remember walking home and crying,
so
like
sad.
In tears.
So
and
sad.
Not wanting to go. My parents, I think one of them was home and my shift wasn't supposed to end for another.
Oh my God.
In fact, it was a Saturday. So they both were home. And so I remember thinking, do I go somewhere else? Like, I can't go home. So that's why in my memory of it, I did tell my parents something. But yeah, I didn't tell them what happened. I was mortified. I was like, oh my God. But you know me. And this happened on Twitter 20 years later with me, where I feel horrible about something I said or did. But at the same time, I also like vehemently defend it. And I'm like,
yes,
the fuck, I did nothing wrong.
This is my marriage to you as well.
Yeah. Feel bad.
Yeah.
That I
but
hurt
also
you.
Defend.
But also like, what the fuck did I do wrong? Get over it.
Yes.
So I had that whole mixed bag going on. But I know I didn't. Yeah. I know that I was just shocked. And it was like,
it's so heartbreaking. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Honey.
Interestingly, I don't remember which came first. Because they were kind of happening concurrently. No. This happened after the fact. I got As the World Turns was first. And I think the episode, I got fired from As the World Turns as well. And I, not for saying anything to anybody. It was just like,
you told them to blow you too?
I did. I was like, blow me. No, the executive producer of that show called, I'm 15, it called me into his office and was like, Jason, I'm sorry to tell you this, but like, we're not, this whole family storyline that you're a part of, we're going away from it. And
we're going in a different direction.
Yeah, we're not going to.
The worst thing an actor can hear.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like crushed about that.
Ugh.
And then that actually sort of led me that I was now unemployed as an actor and I was still auditioning and stuff, but I had more time on my hands now to, and then
I
turned 16.
Subway job.
And then I turned 16 and that's when I got the job. But I think some of the episodes were still airing when I started work at Subway. So some people had come in, but also the soap opera fans, even after I was done on the show for a while, they still remembered, like, you were Pete Wendell. So I got that for a little bit, but anyway, they didn't happen at the same time. The jobs, they were right on the heels.
Oh.
Subway was on the heels of As the World Turns. So I just gotten fired from As the World Turns. And then, got nominated for an Emmy for it. So that was like a big fuck you to the producers.
Yeah.
I was the only actor that got nominated from As the World Turns that year. So that was like a
I would have loved that moment.
Yeah. But then I come back, you know, and I'm, you know, working at Subway. And then that was going well for a long time. And
honey,
then I got fired from
so
that.
So sad, honey.
Yeah. So anyway, so I feel like this happens a lot with us too, with both of us.
I want to talk about NYU.
Okay.
And I want to talk about your acting in terms of the lower moments growing up. Because you were a child actor. You experienced at 19, you know, unfathomable fame for most people.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an overnight. You weren't like an overnight success story. There were many years of like rejection and depression and so much other shit that goes along with like being an actor. Take me back to pre-American Pie, graduating high school. Like, where were you at?
Yeah, that was low. After high school. So first of all, before I'll take you back like 2 years. So actually, As the World Turns, Subway, that was like my sophomore year, then my junior year. And it was around that time that I finally started to sort of find my footing socially, because I had been working so much as an actor up to that point. I mean, fits and starts, obviously, but enough to where I couldn't do the normal kid stuff. And I was particularly busy right when we got into middle school. And that was when these two schools came together in our town and friend groups really started to kind of gel. And so I always felt like I was, you know, never quite in socially. And so after As the World Turns, and when I was working at Subway, that's when I got my first girlfriend. That's when I kind of started hanging out with this group of friends a little bit more and started to really feel sort of better about myself. In fact, there was even a point where I thought maybe I would put the acting aside and sort of just do it, you know, revisit it at another time. But I graduated high school and I decided, well, it wasn't much of a decision. I applied to two colleges, Columbia and NYU, and I got into NYU. I had sort of been talked out of applying to UCLA, which is, you know, my heart had kind of been there for a while because LA, I had, you know, I could act and do the whole thing. But yeah, I think my mom, you know, she made the case for why would you go out there, spend all that money? You can live at home because I was spending my own money to go to college. Anyway, I decided to stay home and commute in, which was the commute itself sucked. Living at home at that time was the suckiest because now all of my friends are off experiencing independence for the first time in their lives. And I was still living under my parents' roof and with their rules. And, you know, so it was this struggle, this push and pull with them and, you know, growing up, having more responsibility, but yet having to live by their rules. And, you know, my mom was pretty strict, you know, it was not a fun time. And I was hating school, largely because of the commute, but also I was at school thinking I needed to study for something to quote unquote fall back on, because I had already had an agent and a manager and been on Broadway and TV shows and was auditioning. So it's not like I needed to go to Tisch to hopefully get discovered and
right.
get my agent and all that stuff. So I understandably went to school thinking I should study something else and get a degree in something else. And again, I had already seen at that point, you could go years without working. It's fine as a kid when you're someone else is paying the bills. But as an adult, I was aware enough, like, yeah, if someone doing this as a career as an adult, it's a hard career because I've been on TV and then it's gone away very quickly. So I had that sense and the wherewithal to be like, study something else. The problem with that is there was nothing else I wanted to do. So everything I was reading and studying, I was miserable doing it. And that's interesting now because I think, you know, I'm a very curious person and I love to learn. But at that time, I just was really felt like I was floating. I just wanted to act. I hated the classes I was taking. I hated commuting. All of my friends were off at their respective schools, now getting new best friends and growing up and being independent and no curfews. Anyway, I digress. It was a shitty time. And this is before I was medicated. My OCD was through the fucking roof, like prohibitively so. You know, it was my temper, my anger issues were just at an 11. And it just sucked. Would cry a lot, get into massive fights with my parents. I mean, it was real shitty. And yeah, and it was just, I just felt very alone. And so, yeah, it wasn't until I decided to take a semester after NYU. So the funny story in that, I look at it as funny now, is I was taking my finals. So it was December now, and I was of my first semester at college. And I had taken four classes that semester. They were economics, creative writing was a mandatory. What's it called? Mandatory in college term? Not mandatory, but what's a class that you have to take at college? There's a word for
mandatory.
It.
Mandatory. No?
Yeah, but there's a word for it. It's a specific word of a course that's mandatory. All your listeners right now are going, it's...
I know. It's, yeah, what is it?
It's like core curriculum. Like exactly. There's a specific word. Anyway, so creative writing wasn't an elective is the point. It was creative writing and then...
Oh, prereq.
Prereq. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
It was a prereq. Creative writing. Was I taking a class on the Vietnam War? I was taking a class on Vietnam. It's like my dad went to Vietnam. That'll be interesting. And then one other class, took all my finals. And the last final that I was taking was economics. Actually, let me back up. By the time I got to my finals, I was really thinking maybe I wouldn't come back the following semester. Maybe I would take some time off. Maybe I would transfer to a different school. I wasn't quite sure. But when I got to that economics final, I got handed the test.
Oh, I hate this story.
Yeah. And I looked at it and I answered the first question, I think. And then I got to the second question and I was just like, what? I didn't know the answer because clearly I'd barely been paying attention that semester. But I just said, fuck this. And I just put the cap back on my pen, took the exam, walked to the front of the room, handed my test to the TA. Ugh. And the TA was like, wait, you're done? You can't be done. I was like, yeah, I'm done. And
oh my
everyone
God.
In the...
Ugh, makes me want to throw up.
I know. It was a horrible low moment.
So sad. I would kill Sid.
It was a very low moment.
Oh
I felt like
God.
I failed. I was like, I failed. And I did.
Ugh.
I failed that exam, obviously. But here's the interesting...
But it's disturbing on like such on just like a deeper level. It's just like
yeah.
so painful.
Yeah. It was not a... You know, like in a movie version, it would be... You know what? Cap on the
Ferris
pen.
Bueller's day off,
and,
bro.
And like, or it's like, it's like, ah, I'm free. Like,
yeah.
I don't need this. And you go
yeah.
off into the sunset with, you know, with your lover or your,
yeah.
you do your other thing. And you're, you know, like, this
no,
was
this
not
is
that.
Like
this was
so sad.
Yeah. This was a heavy moment of failure.
Yes.
And it was a walk of shame out of that classroom and everyone
oh.
looking at me and the TA just like, what?
Oh my God, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah. And so, four classes I was taking, 4 credits each, 16 credits was what I should have gotten. Now, with the failing of econ, I obviously wasn't getting those credits. So, 12 credits was what I was going to walk away with for about $27,000, I think I paid. This is in 1996.
That's insane.
96.
That's insane.
25, maybe. I mean, it was expensive.
Yeah, that's insane.
I think that's what it was. Maybe it was 25 for the year. What do you think? No, I think it was 25.
Ugh.
No, for 1996. It was a lot of money and it was my money. That's what I know. And I got 12
no,
credits out in, of it.
It was probably 50 because I went to UCLA and UCLA was like 17 for in-state, something
so,
like
okay.
that. So it probably was 50.
Okay. I feel
USC
like I wrote a check.
USC was 50. So I bet you it was 25.
Then yes. I feel like I wrote a check for 25,000.
Yes,
25
you did.
Plus. So I got 12 credits,
but
then here's the even worse part of that. It's like, okay, I have 12 credits. Took a semester off, worked. Now I was, Subway was in the rearview mirror by a mile. I was working at Gap Kids Baby Gap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I just took that on full time then. And again, this was like, I had a little bit of like, okay, I'm doing something, a little bit of freedom, but it was still like, really? My friends are all at college. I just walked out. I was auditioning occasionally, but not that frequently. It was really like, shit, what am I going to do with my life if I don't mm-hmm. get an acting job? Now, I will say there was a small part of me that
knew you were going to work again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small, though. Like there was the part of me that knew that I was good.
Yeah.
And that should be working was very large.
Yes.
The part of me that felt like I was going to work again was small, but it did exist.
Uh-huh.
But if that part is small, then that means the part of me that's like, maybe I'm not going to work again was also large. And therefore, I did have to ask myself, what am I going to do if not that?
Right.
And having tried college and failed miserably and, you know, but the only answer was to go back to college. I mean, I'm not going to be a work at the Gap for the rest of my life. Like it had to be. I mean, there was just this like, okay. So the decision was made by me to go to a smaller school in New Jersey that was going to be a lot cheaper. And in giving it time.
But I think like people need to also know this about Jason is that like he is like very competitive. He is very smart. He was like a straight, unlike me, he was a straight A student. Like, it's so It's so out of character knowing him, because when I first heard like that he didn't go to college, I was like, okay, you know, whatever. But in the time that now that I've known Jason, it is so weird. I cannot fathom him letting him, like, you must have been so depressed and so broken.
Oh my God.
Because like knowing you and how what a competitor you are, like just in general, whatever you're doing, you are going to do it to like the fucking best of your ability. And also how easy school was. High school was easy for you. You had all A's. Like that's what is like bananas.
Yeah. And I went to not a particularly great high school, I think. No offense. I guess that's easy to look up. Cut that if you can.
No, but you did go to good high school, because the other kids in your school also, you know, went to, had great GPAs and went to great schools.
No, that's true. It's very true. It's, yes, but I think I would, my point being, not that it was a bad school, but that I could get through it in a way that didn't require 100% from me, probably. Like, I was a good memorizer. I was intuitively smart. Math, I was good at.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to, I don't know. Like, let's put it this way. I mean, I guess I did have late nights where I was writing term papers and stuff, but really like nose to grindstone, have to study. College was a wake-up call for me for sure. Add to that the fact that I was having to do that for things I wasn't even remotely interested in. Now, I'm sure that's a lot of people's college experience for sure. But when I had this other thing that I had tasted,
right, that's
and
what
knew
it was,
that I
sure.
wanted. And now I'm having to really work hard at this other thing was that I was paying for. It felt, coming back to your point, to walk out of that room, to be having that semester off, knowing already that I'm now going to fall behind everyone else. I'm not going to graduate. I mean, I guess I could have made up the credits.
Yeah.
But in theory, in my head, it was like, I'm not going to graduate
with
all my friends.
Race.
Yeah. But also just fall behind with my friends and everything. Just like, this is, I'm the loser that dropped out of college. Like,
right, that's so not you.
It was not me. It was shocking and unsettling and uncomfortable for me, for sure. And on top of that, I'm still living at home, still dealing with my parents, fighting like crazy, you know, trying to, you know, this push-pull of like...
Fighting with both your dad and your mom. Not just your mom.
Oh, both.
Wow.
Yeah. But I had a... kind of a moment of clarity, I suppose. At a certain point, I don't know when, I suppose it was well into that summer now, going into what would be our second year of college, where I said, you know what, I'm going to go to a smaller school. Excuse me, I'm going to, and in thinking about what could I possibly study, I decided psychology. And I was actually quite excited about it. Like, legitimately thought, you know, I am pretty fascinated by it.
I do love telling people what their fails are. I might be good at this.
I also brought it back to acting as well. Like, the idea of, I'd always been fascinated with the way, why people act certain ways and the situations that they're put in, and where, not necessarily like going to a Freudian place about it. It was, you know, very sort of surface. I was a kid. I wasn't method or anything like that. But just this idea of personality, it's a real thing. Why do people behave certain way? Behavior, human behavior. And so I was intrigued enough to declare myself a psych major and started up that fall going to Montclair State University and was enjoying it. Like, it was only, I was there and I started my classes, and psychology I loved right away. I thought, yes, I get this. You know, I was intrigued by it enough and curious. Actually, now I'm remembering, the Vietnam class was actually at Montclair State, I believe. It was not at NYU. So I started with Vietnam War there, and that was I'm super fascinated by it. As you know, my dad was in Vietnam. And so I was taking a couple classes that I was intrigued by. Now, here's the ultimate irony. Well, hold on. I'll get to that. Anyway, so I was studying and, again, still commuting, so I still had to deal with the shit of being home, and I wasn't fully like, I'm free, I'm happy, I figured it out.
Right.
It was just, there was enough of a moment of saying a slight sense of direction, which for a year I had zero sense of direction. Just totally floating, totally miserable, alone and unsatisfied and like, yeah, I mean, yeah, bad. Crying fits and the whole thing. This was like the first time in well over a year that I had a sense of, oh, maybe this is something, you know? I knew it wasn't the thing I really wanted still. Like I hadn't.
But you're like, I could be happy doing this.
I think I had was trying to convince myself that maybe that was the case. I don't even know if I would go that far, but there was a, enough of a moment of purpose just for a brief, just like, okay, I can study this and see what happens. But in the back of my mind, no, I would never be fully happy unless, in my head at that time, unless I was acting.
Yeah.
Or unless I, you know, was able to work on myself and get myself to a place where I could be happy without that. But I was not doing that then, was I?
Right.
So 3 weeks in to my studies at Montclair State University, I got a call from my agent. I was auditioning very sporadically, mostly for things that were not great or that I was totally not right for. Voiceovers, commercials that I didn't book, whatever. But I got a call for this Stephen Bochco TV series that was already in production. And it was a character that was going to come in for the third episode. And they had already been picked up for 13 episodes. And it was a character that would live in the rest of the show. And so it was an awesome opportunity. And I first, you know, got faxed the sides to my parents' house. I didn't even read a whole script. I just read these sides and immediately was like, oh, this is me.
Yeah, I can do this.
This is totally,
I'm getting this job.
I'm going to get this job. I read it. It was a big monologue. And I remember I was working at Gap Kids. So I was like studying in my car on my break.
Yeah.
You know, out in the mall parking lot. I was just like this. I can do this. I can do this thing. And I went in on the audition. So I got the call for the audition. It was like a Tuesday. I want to say it was a Tuesday to audition on Wednesday in the city.
Yeah.
And so I studied Tuesday night. I told my manager I couldn't work on Wednesday, that I needed to go into the city, or maybe I would work part-time, but whatever. I went into the city on the audition just with casting, and I fucking crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the feeling.
Yes, the best feeling.
You know the feeling.
And you leave, you're just like, I smoked them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best feeling.
Where the casting director's going, okay, Jason.
So what's your availability?
Well,
can you stay?
Yeah.
He's coming in.
Yeah. Well, can you? I need to get this taped. I mean, this is when they still had to mail FedEx tapes overnight.
Yeah.
She was like, I got to get this out. Like, okay, stay tuned. Like, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was what, you know, what is your avail? All the things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they FedEx the tape out to LA to Stephen Bochco on the Fox lot. Tuesday was the audition. Wednesday, he sees the tape, immediately calls my agent, and they call me. I'm at work at the Gap Kids now.
You get paged.
I get paged on my beeper. Yep, on my pager. And I see it, that it's my agent. And I'd already told sort of my manager, like, yeah, I did this audition. It went really well. Because she knew I had to take off to go in and audition for it. And I get this page, and I'm like, I got to call my agent. Can I call my agent? She's like, oh, they were so sweet there. For the life of me, I don't remember her name. She was the best. She's like, oh my God, go in the stock room. Yeah, go, call. And I called, and my agent's like, you got to get on a plane tomorrow.
Love that feeling too.
Gonna read for Stephen on Friday. This was Wednesday.
Oh, you still had to read for Stephen?
Yeah, this wasn't the booking. But I knew it at that point. It was done.
It was done, yeah.
I knew it was done. You're flying me on an airplane out to Los Angeles to read for Stephen. He already saw my tape.
He knows.
He knows.
They
I know.
They should have just hired you.
They just need to see that I'm a real human.
Yeah.
Like, this was done.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
And that flight out to LA, I mean, yes, could I have fucked it up? Sure. Was I studying like fucking crazy?
Oh, yeah,
on the
you
plane?
Were a psychopath.
I mean, I must have read that thing a million times. I mean, it
was
like, there was no option to fail. But I also I knew that I wouldn't fail, that I was going to crush it and I was going to be hired.
Yeah.
And I got flown out to LA on Thursday and I read for him on Friday morning, first thing. Sweet man. Rest in peace. He was the best, Stephen. Crushed it. Go back to the hotel. Whatever the little motel situation is, across from the house that I ended up buying in Fox Hills Drive in Century City, right next to the Fox lot on Olympic Boulevard, Or was that on Olympic?
Pico.
No, Olympic. It's Olympic because I ended up buying a house right there.
No, Fox is on Pico, honey.
Fox is on Pico.
Yeah.
The hotel was on the Olympic Boulevard
Avalon?
Side. No, this is not Beverly. In Century City, by the Ralphs on Olympic Boulevard in Century City.
That's the Avalon, honey. That
no, baby.
Little.
I love you.
The Ralphs.
It's like the it's like it's called the like you know it's like a Hilton.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Pavilions.
Courtyard by Marriott or something.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Pavilions on Beverly.
Yeah, it's the Ralphs Drive. On Olympic Boulevard in Century City.
Oh, God. Okay.
That little
yes.
shitty motel right
yes.
there. That might as well have been a Four Seasons for me. I mean, I was
right.
in like
heaven. You're in heaven.
There. By the way, you also have to remember, not just that I'm now being presented.
Flown somewhere.
Well, but now that I'm not only am I being presented with a potential opportunity to get me out of what was by my measurement.
Hell.
Still one of the worst periods of my life. The biggest failing sort of part of my life. But I also, you know, was, yeah, flown out, but flown out by myself. You have to remember.
I know. You didn't have a chaperone. You were a
job,
child actor.
I was a child actor.
Your mom had to go everywhere.
I was 19. So this is, so exactly. Every time I'd been flown out in the past.
You still had a leash.
Still had a leash. So
oh
this was,
God.
I literally, my first time on an airplane by myself. It was.
Did you order a drink on the plane?
No, I was 19. I couldn't.
I know.
No.
Still, I could have seen you being like, I'll have
no,
a
I was,
vodka tonic.
Are you kidding me? No, I was so like. I'm
straight
gonna,
edge still?
Yeah. Well, no, I was at home with my friends. I had kind of jumped off that because I was, I was going to visit them on college campuses and getting annihilated and drinking totally.
Recklessly.
Right out the gate. Like no sense of what is the appropriate amount to drink. But no, on that mission, there was no, it was a mission.
Okay.
But I remember thinking, oh my God, like independence.
Yes.
Not just an opportunity for work, but literally an opportunity for my first time 2 years late versus all of my other friends, but at independence.
Freedom. So.
And look, again, like for your listeners, I mean, you know, I have a very nice, really great relationship with my parents right now. But it was not great at
the
that.
The only person listening is the subway woman and your
and
mother.
And my mom. But no, it was really rough then, you know?
Yes.
And I don't blame her. There's no blame to be passed around.
You've already blamed her.
I know. I've already
it's
done
too
that.
Late.
It's too late. No, it just sucked. It just absolutely sucked.
Yeah.
And so I'm being like handed this potential, like I'm so close.
Yes.
And so I auditioned for him on Friday morning. I go back to the hotel. Now I'm supposed to have my flight home is in a couple hours. So I'm going to pack up and go back to LAX to go back to Jersey. I get a phone call in my room from my agent saying, you booked it.
Ah,
it's yours. It's yours. Go back on the plane, on the scheduled flight.
Get your shit.
Pack your bags this weekend because you're flying back out on Monday or Sunday and you're starting your first episode on Monday.
Oh my
so
God.
Tuesday,
so
I
where were they going to house you?
So I stayed at the Oakwoods.
Okay, so they said we have
marina.
An apartment for you.
Yeah,
I might have just
was,
been like, "Mom, send a box of my shit. I'm not coming."
No,
home.
It was a scramble that weekend, like because my agent kind of handled a lot of that. Like, you know, we're all right, Oakwoods, and we'll get you a car rental. The studio too was like Fox Studios, so it was ABC, but it was 20th Century Fox Studios, and they like got my car rental organized and whatever, but. That weekend, Jenny, you can imagine. Now it's
like
now
on
what's interesting.
Nine.
Yeah, but what's interesting too is like it's also my parents now. It's like mm-hmm. now I'm like, you know, and you could interview my mom about it. It'd be interesting to talk to my mom. I would like to talk to my mom about this at some point. They thought for sure I was gonna, you know, come home when it was all done. I mean, yes, it was a series that was picked up, but
was she able to be happy for you, or was she too caught up in her own loss? Do you remember?
It's a great question. I mean, my mom will be like, what are you talking about? Of course I was happy. And I think she certainly said, yes, she said the right things. I don't think there wasn't like an outward, you know, no or disappointment. Because you have to remember, too, she had
been
such a part of the journey. She had given up so much. She was invested in my success as well.
But she wasn't a stage mom.
Right. No, not in that. No way was she a stage mom. So internally, I don't know. That's a question I'd love to ask her, like what her real feelings were at that time, you know?
Yeah.
But no, she did not. She was supportive for sure. And yeah. So in less than 1 week, You know, I went from working at the Gap Kids Baby Gap combo store in the Garden State Plaza in New Jersey, slash going to Montclair State University with a little glimmer of like, okay, this is nice, but still generally miserable. Right. Living at my parents' house under their rules with a curfew, with, you know, all the things.
Uh-huh.
Very infantilizing and sort of still a child. And
well, honey, I dated a guy who lived with his parents and he was like 21, 22. So I think in the scheme of things.
No, in hindsight, it's like. Yeah,
how old were you? 17, 18?
I was 19.
19. Living at home. I mean, that's.
But yes, but all of my friends were. It's, yes. I was a year and a half or 2 years.
You weren't like
years.
44 living at home.
No. It's not okay. Like that crazy. But it is past the point of when every one of my other friends and
of
anyone
course,
else my age
it
has achieved independence, real independence.
Yes. Parents' and, credit card. You actually had financial independence.
Yes.
From your parents at an even younger age.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, but you know, there were still some leashes, as you know, as we've talked about.
Yes.
My mother was still signing my checks from afar.
Yes.
Like there was still stuff that took a lot longer to
yes.
sort of, you know, really
iron
gain.
Out.
And yes, and there was friction around all of that and stuff. And then, you know, ultimately, when the show was a failure, by the way, this is now my second TV series that was aired and canceled after 13 episodes. That's when I had another sort of sliding doors, you know, and I was like, I'm going to stay out in LA. And then had to talk to my parents about that, really my mom, and deal with that whole
yes.
thing. And that's another yes. great thing to talk about my mom with, because that was a whole mixed bag of emotions for her, I'm sure. And me, the guilt calling her and telling her, I'm
yes.
not coming home like you think I am. I'm going to stay out here.
Right.
And she
yes.
actually, I believe she has said that she even thought, because this was in December, it was canceled. You know, you do your first 13 up until Christmas holidays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew we weren't coming back after the holidays, but I had sort of pitched it like.
You'll stay for pilot season.
I'll stay for pilot season.
Of course.
Exactly. So I think she thought, all right, I'll stay for pilot season and then come home.
And then he'll come back.
You know. Of course, I booked a pilot and then got American Pie.
Yes, which is also insane. Your life changed and you really have.
Then I became an alcoholic and,
exactly.
and an addict and
so,
like
yes.
horribly depressed in a totally different way.
In a different way. So, yeah. So that's where I wanted to go next.
Yep.
Like, you know,
yep.
after you got just like, I mean, the kind of fame, I always say the kind of fame that Jason has, it's like, I've been to how many countries with you? And people always are like, American Pie. I mean, this is a movie that is just like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't know that people don't really get famous that way anymore.
Yeah.
Even like people that I know that are huge movie stars, I'm not going with them to the Great Wall of China and like having people chase us the way that people have with you. It's just
yeah.
a different world we live in.
Yeah.
So you get this overnight notoriety, not that it was overnight to build to that moment for you
yeah,
at all, by
yeah,
any means,
yep. mm-hmm.
but
the fame thing.
Suddenly everybody knows you.
Yeah.
And the fame thing is, of course, a double-edged sword, but you start being invited to all these parties, the world opens up to you,
mm-hmm.
the drinking, the drugs, like take me through that a little bit.
This is a really good podcast, baby. You're really good at this.
Hello, failures. Christiana here. I'm the producer of All the Fails. If you've made it this far, first of all, your father and I are so proud of you. Second of all, this is going to be a two-parter. Stay tuned for the second half. Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.